Mark 10:32. This is the third time that Jesus foretells his death. We're going to read this from the Amplified Bible, and we're going to go in two places today in the Amplified Bible. We're going to go in Mark 10, and we're also going to go to John, the 19th chapter also. Now they were on the road going up to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is up, by the way. And Jesus walking on ahead of them, they were absolutely perplexed at what Jesus had said, and those who were following were alarmed and afraid. And again he took the 12 disciples aside and began telling them what was going to happen to him. Now, there's a lot of church members, aren't there? There's thousands of church members. But there is the inner circle, which are the apostles. Now, he's going to tell them, by the way, the apostles are going to do some of the writing of the New Testament. Verse number 33, listen very carefully, he says. We are going up to Jerusalem. And the Son of Man, he uses that term because he wants them to know that he was the seed of woman. He could have said seed of woman, but he said Son of Man, will be betrayed, the promise of Genesis 3:15, and handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and hand him over to the Gentiles, the Romans. They will mock him and ridicule him and spit on him and whip and scourge him, and they will kill him. And 3 days later, he will rise from the dead. And then they come up with an ungodly question. The next one. Now let's go to John, the 19th chapter. And then we'll go and read these few verses in Greek. So then Pilate took Jesus and had him scourged and flogged and whipped up with the cat of nine tails, just cut him to shreds. Now he did this hoping that they would say, well, that's enough, and they'd turn him loose. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and put a purple robe around him. And the cross references in Matthew 27:27 and Mark 15:16-19. And they kept on coming up to him and saying, and mockingly, Hail the King of the Jews, good health and peace and long life to you, King of the Jews. And they slapped him in the face. Just like Isaiah 53:3, 5, and 7 would say. Then Pilate came out again and said to them, Look, I am bringing him out to you so that you may know that I have not find no guilt in him. And there is no crime and no cause of accusation at all. And what had happened now, if you go back into their traditions and you go back into the law of Moses, if you brought a man before a judge to be tried and he was found innocent, you had to be convicted and you had to be executed or whatever had to be done. You were guilty, and the accusers were then penalized for what they had done, even to the point of death. So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and a purple robe, and Pilate said to them, Look, echo homo in Latin. There's a place there, and I know, Sharon, you've been in that place where it said echo homo, behold a man. And when the chief priests and officials saw him, they shouted, Crucify him, crucify him. And Pilate said to them, Take him yourselves and you crucify him, for I find no fault in him, and no crime, no cause of accusation. 5 times Pontius Pilate said that Jesus was innocent. 5 times he judged he was innocent. Then the Jews answered and said, We have a law regarding blasphemy, and according to that law he should die, and because he made himself out to be the Son of God. That's quoting Leviticus 24:16. But he was a fulfillment of Genesis 3:15. When Pilate heard this, he said he was even more alarmed and afraid. And he went into the praetorium again. Now remember, the Jews wouldn't go into the Gentile house, the Gentile court. He had to talk to them outside in the courtyard. They weren't going to dirty themselves. They weren't going to defile themselves by going in there. But Jesus was in there. And he went into the praetorium, and I know, Sharon, you've been in that place too, just like I have. The very pavement where he stood. And he said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" And Jesus answered him not. Isaiah 53 and verse 7. And Psalm 22. So Pilate said to him, "Don't you understand that why aren't you speaking to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and I have authority to crucify you?" And Jesus answered, "You will have no authority over me at all if it had not been given to you from above. For this reason, the sin and guilt of the one who handed me over to you is greater than your own." It's not your fault, it's theirs. As a result of this, Pilate kept making efforts to release him. But the Jews kept screaming, "If you release this man, you are not a friend of Caesar. And anyone who makes himself out to be a king opposes Caesar and rebels against the emperor." When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat in a place called the pavement, in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of the preparation for the Passover week, and it was about the sixth hour. And he said to the Jews, "Look, your king. Behold, your king." But they shouted, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." They're lying. Jesus was in the kingly line. He should have been on the throne. Jesus should have been king of Israel right then. He inherited that throne through Joseph and Mary too. But of course there was a toad squatting on the throne by the name of Herod. Remember how he got on the throne? How did Herod get on the throne? Antony and Cleopatra put him on the throne. Then he handed him over to be crucified, and so they took Jesus and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of the skull. In the Hebrew it's called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them, Isaiah 53 and verse 12, Mark 15, 22 through 32, Matthew 27, 33 through 44, and Luke 23, 33 through 43. Pilate also wrote an inscription on the placard, on a piece of wood, and put it on the cross, and it was written, "Jesus, the Nazarene, the King of the Jews." And many of the Jews read this inscription. Now, Pontius Pilate wrote it with his own hand. He wrote it in three languages. He wrote it in Greek, he wrote it in Hebrew, and he wrote it in Latin. And he wrote it with his own hand. And many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew and in Latin and in Greek. Then the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but said that he said that I am King of the Jews." And Pilate replied, "What I have written myself, I have written myself, and it's going to remain there." Because he was King of the Jews. He was King of the Jews. He was king of all heaven and earth. And they demanded that Jesus be crucified. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Let's go there for just a moment. We have to cover this subject. Who has believed, confidently trusted in, and relied upon, and adhered to our message of salvation? And to whom, if not us, has the arm of the infinite power of the Lord been revealed? For he, the servant of God, grew up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of dry ground. He has no stately form or majestic splendor that we would look upon him, nor handsome appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and pain and acquainted with grief, and one like and like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we did not appreciate his worth or his esteem. In fact, he has borne our griefs. He has carried our sorrows and our pains. Yet we ignorantly assume that he was stricken, struck down by God and degraded and humiliated by him, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our wickedness, our sin and our injustice and our wrongdoing. The punishment required for our well-being fell upon him. By his stripes and wounds we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned each one to his own way. But the Lord has caused the wickedness of all of us and all of our sin, our injustice, and our wrongdoing to fall upon him instead of us. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he did not open his mouth to complain or defend himself. Like a lamb, he is led to the slaughter. I remember something Marilyn told me one time. Your mother did a lot of bad things to you, didn't she? Marilyn wanted to have children and have a family, and she kind of had lambs. They got lambs, and they brought the little lambs into the world, and Marilyn would help pull them and deliver them, and she would take care of them and just nurture them like they were her own little babies, and they'd put their head on her, and she'd go out there and sit with them, and they'd loved each other and loved her. And her mother told her they were going to sell them off to be slaughtered. And Marilyn went out there and loved the little lambs up, and the little lambs looked at her like, "Why are you doing this? Why?" That's exactly. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth to complain or defend himself. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, like a sheep that is silent before his shearers, he had not opened his mouth. After oppression and judgment, he was taken away, and as for his generation, his contemporaries, among them concerned himself with the fact he was cut off from the land of the living by his death for the transgression of my people, to whom the stroke was due. He was afflicted. His grave was assigned with the wicked. He was with a rich man in his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet the Lord was willing to crush him, causing him to suffer. If he would give himself as a guilt offering for our atonement and sin, he shall see his spiritual offspring. He shall prolong his days, and the will, the good pleasure of the Lord shall succeed and prosper in his hand. As a result of his anguish and of his soul, he shall see it and be satisfied. And by his knowledge of what he has accomplished, the righteous one, my servant, shall justify many, making them righteous, and we are not, except by the blood of Jesus Christ, upright before God and right standing with him. For he shall bear the responsibility for their sins and our sins. That is a beautiful story. It's a story of sadness. Jesus was crucified because of our sins. He was beaten. He breathed his last breath on the cross so that we might have eternal life. And yet he didn't die there. He rose again that we might have eternal life. 10:32 now. From the Greek, eison de ante hodo, ana biontes, eis Jerusalema, kai ein proagon, autois ho Jesus kai e thom banto, hoi de aculontes, eth Pho bonte kai paralabon, Pauline tus duodeca, ex auto autois legain, ta melonta, auto sima by name. Let's look at these few little verses from Greek now. Hazan. Moreover, they're kept on being. Look at that word Hazan there. Third person plural imperfect indicative active. They kept on being. In the preposition there, in the way, in the road. Going up, that is nominee singular plural masculine, as they were going up. Present participle, active voice, it's a continuing thing. Ace, that word ace there. That little preposition. Extension or limitation on thorough verbal action. In reference to Jerusalem, they were going to go into Jerusalem, they were going to round Jerusalem, they're going to completely encompass Jerusalem. That's what the word ace there means. Jerusalem. Kai, little conjunction. Page 208. All right. It kept on going before him. Third person singular, present indicative active. Kept on going before him. That nominative singular masculine. He kept on going before them. The Jesus. And they kept on being astonished. He thambonta. That comes from thambio. That's third person plural imperfect indicative active. That word is. They kept on being astonished. They were dumbfounded. They kept on being dumbfounded. And moreover, the ones following him as disciples, akulo thontes. That's nominee plural masculine, present participle active, comes from akulotheo. They kept on following him and listening to him as disciples. And they kept on being afraid. Ephom bonta. They kept on being afraid. Third person plural imperfect indicative active from phobio. That's where we get our word phobia from. Or fear, even. And having received. Again, the 12. Paralambon. That is a nominative singular masculine, second aorist participle active. That's punctiliar action, but it's a little more dur to linear because it's second aorist. Having received them, it's a point of time and place. There's an action taking place there, and it is limited to a point of time. Again, the 12. And the 12 are talking about the 12 apostles, and they are the first gift placed in the church, so the church was there too. But he takes the 12 beside. And he began ex auto for himself. That's third person singular, first aorist, indicative, middle voice. He began for himself to them. Dative plural, third person pronoun, that autois. And then legay, that is present infinitive active, that's the infinitive, that's a continuing thing, to say the things being about, melonta, that is a nominative plural neuter, it comes from melon, being about to happen, to participle. Present participle. To him. About to happen to him. Seem bino. To step together is what that word is. Seem bino. To step together. Bino means to step up or together. What things are about to step together, literally. Verse number 33 now. Hote. Edu, anabinomen, ace, Jerusalema, kai ho huios tu anthropu, paradothesite, tois archeriusen, kai tois grom ma tusen, kai, kara krinusen, auton thanato, kai paradosen, auton tois eth nation. Because behold, they do. Call your attention to. Because we go up. Anabinomen. We go up. First person, plural, present, indicative, active. We go up unto Jerusalem. We're going to go up unto Jerusalem. We're going to end Jerusalem. We're going all around Jerusalem. That word ace. It doesn't say end there. It doesn't say up to, pro. It says ace. And that one you can look up on page 119. Unto Jerusalem, and that little conjunction again, page 208, and then the Son. Now, whole wheels there, that is nominative, singular, masculine, definite article. And then nominative, singular, masculine, Son. The heir, that means the heir of God. And the heir of mankind. Genesis 3:15. The fulfillment of it. He shall be handed over. And he shall be betrayed. It comes from para and didymi. And it's third person singular, future indicative passive. He shall be handed over to the chief priest, tois archerusin, and to the scribes. Those ones taking down all these false witnesses and things about him. And they shall condemn him down, judge, is what is kata and krino. Third person plural, future indicative active. They shall down him, condemn him. That word auton there, excuse the singular masculine third person pronoun. To death. To death. Thanato, native singular. And that little conjunction again, page 208. They shall hand over, third person plural, future indicative, and they shall hand over him. They will. They shall hand over him. That word auton there is accusative singular masculine third person pronoun. To the Gentiles, to the ethnesin, to the Gentiles, to the heathens. Verse number 34. Kai empi zusin, alto, kai em tusin, alto, kai masti go susin. Auton kai apo katenesin kai meta tes grace hemeros anastasis. And they shall mock him. Third person plural, future indicative. And they shall mock him. Future indicative active. That comes from M and Paizo. Mock to him or at him, dative, singular, masculine, third person pronoun, and a conjunction again. They shall spit. Boy, can you imagine spitting in the face of God? Wow. And they shall spit, third person plural, future indicative active, M to toe. Spit at him. Dative, singular, masculine, third person pronoun. And conjunction again. They shall mastigusin. We got a word mastigate out of that. They'll chew him up with whips. They will chew his backsides and his body up with whips. They shall mastigate him. Third person plural, future indicative active from mastigu. Him, accusative singular masculine third person pronoun, and again, that little conjunction. They shall kill. They shall murder. They shall kill and they shall murder. And after meta, trace Hameras after 3 days, he shall stand up for himself. Middle voice, by the way. Now the Bible says, Jesus said, tear down this temple, destroy this temple, in 3 days I'll raise it. The Bible says that the eternal Spirit raised him. The Bible said the Father raised him. All of those are one God. They're not three gods out there. They're one God. And here he says, after 3 days, I shall stand up for myself. The eternal God that was put to death shall stand upon his feet again. And what they should have done is they should have feared him and fallen at his feet and asked for forgiveness, but they did not. And Jerusalem was destroyed. Jerusalem was destroyed. And they weren't forgiven in that age. But over here again, God is going to call them back. And he has called them back into the land. A tribulation period is going to be sent upon them and the word God-rejecting world. And they shall look upon him whom they have scourged and pierced and weep over him like an only son. And he shall forgive them again. Our Father, we send this message out for your honor and glory. Please use it wherever it goes. Touch hearts with your word. Jesus is real. God is real. We live in a real world and we have a real God watching over us. Father, please forgive me where I fail you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.